air. The words I write, they have no rhyme. When I play, I'm usually out of time. That's not really who I am. I'm a child of the King. I've been washed by the blood. No longer the man that I once was. When you look at me, you may not like what you see, but I'm a child of the King. Sometimes I let my temper get the best of me. I say things I really don't mean. I laugh and cut up way too much. Sometimes I come across as rough. That's not really who I am. I'm a child of the King. I've been washed by the blood. No longer the man that I once was. When you look at me, you may not like what you see, but I'm a child of the King.
Good morning, remain standing, and let's keep on clapping for Jesus. Come on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's give him praise. Let's bow in prayer. We're going to pray right quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We're so glad to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us. And as we enter into this time of thanksgiving, we know it's much, much bigger than anything we can do. It's only through you. And we're so thankful for what you've done for us in our lives. We're so thankful for the cross and what it means to us. We're so thankful for the blood that ran down Calvary's veins. And Lord, I thank you that our sins are washed white as snow when we accept you as our Savior. Lord, as we go into this time of celebration, in this week as we love with our families, and we live through this time of thanksgiving, help us to look to others to be thankful, to help them, to serve them, to give of ourselves, and put ourselves in places where we can be of service. Lord, we love you, and thank you for this day you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, yeah. Kiddos. And I want you kiddos to come down. I got a lot of special stuff here for you. Man, we got a good scripture today. Ooh. Huh? This ain't no milkshake, son. You don't want this cup. You know why? Hey, do you think, listen, kids, where are them other kids? Come on now, y'all missing out. I'm going to have to talk to these old kids out here this morning. How many are y'all old kids? I'm just a big kid. That's what I'm talking about. All right, now listen here, guys. This right here, what's that sound? No. Is it full or is it empty? Ah, it's empty. So what's left over? Nothing. Yeah, there's some ice in there, but not much. I want to tell you something about, my goodness, looky here. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That'll preach right there. I'm telling you. That's a sword right there. I'm telling you. Hey, but look in this cup. There's nothing in there but some shaking ice. Folks, when we come to church, kiddos, when we come to church, a lot of times when we come in, we're empty, right? Just like this soda pop cup. Now, this morning I got up, I had a divine intervention. There was something called needing to go to the restroom. And I got up and I had an urge, and it was very early. I went to the restroom, and then I couldn't go back to sleep, so I decided I might as well just go on to Whataburger. So I went to Whataburger at 6-something this morning. And when I got this, I felt satisfied, and that was so good. And I drank all that soda pop, and, you know, it was sitting up there, and Miss Barbara thought it was trash and threw it away. I had to go find it out of the trash can, but I recovered my soda pop, and I just drank what was left. But now it's empty, and I'm not happy about that. Now, if I go back into Whataburger here in a little while after lunch and after church, and I go in there, and I say, will you fill this up? What are they going to say? No. If I'm there, they'll keep filling it up. Well, that's the way it is sometimes when we're walking and we feel empty. It says right there in that scripture, Miss Barbara's got it up there a while ago, about the deer. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, God. So when we come here with an empty cup, I'm going to make Miss Elizabeth mad. This is funny. janitorial staff is probably off this week, too. That's all right. You see what I'm doing? I'm trying to preserve something that's going to happen that my wife would kill me if I got it on her floor. But we come in here to this place, and we got an empty cup. Now, look on these bottles here. Isn't that cool how this goes right along? Hope. When we come in here, we come in here to find Jesus. Ha-ha, that made y'all thirsty. Yeah. Oh, so refreshing. Yeah, let's just do this. Yeah. That's all right. I do this all the time. Now, when we come into the house of God, you need to come in here wanting to get filled up to where it runs over like that so Frankie will trip in it so much that it'll splatter all over him, so much that the splattering gets all over these people, and the joy of your salvation and knowing Jesus Christ is so infectious that it just blows up in you. Folks, that's the way we're supposed to be. That living water is for you here today. Now, when you come down here today to get rid of that stuff that's on you, please step around this morning. But I want you to give it up to him.
Amen.
And I want to let that water splatter on you today, because it's available all the time. As the deer pants for the water, our soul should pant for him.
Amen.
That living water can be received. And kids, I hope you get a bunch out of that, because the hope of Jesus Christ,
yes,
is overflowing, all
Amen.
Right? Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much that your love is overflowing for us. Your grace and mercy, it just pours. The problem is we get in the way, Father. Allow that water, that living water, to flow into us today, that it's so overflowing. When we leave this place, people will be like, man, where did you get that cup filled up? Right there at the throne of mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things over these kiddos, that they learn, that they live what they see and they receive it, as well as us adults. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When I look around to see the good things. Get up, everybody, and shake hands. Sorry, he didn't say that. Go back to the first. When I look around to see the good things done for me, I know I'm not worthy of them all. But his blessings he freely gives, I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for, and I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. Can't you see how he's been so good to me? And when I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, to thank him for. So much to thank him for, and I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. Can't you see how he's been so good to me? And when I think
of what he's done, so much to thank him for.
And when
I think of what he's done
and where,
and where
he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Thank him
for. This next song we're going to do, I was listening the other day in the morning to music, and I thought this song, Child of Love, man, what a great message, a child of love. It kind of rocks out a little bit, but think about it. Hey, when you're a child of God, you're a child of love, and he loves us and cares for us.
I was walking the wayside the sting of the fire. But I saw you in the flames. Just when I thought it was over, you broke me out of the grave. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom. I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child.
Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong.
Take me to the river.
I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness, it's like sweet, sweet honey.
Unexpected. who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this room. Just give me Jesus.
What an honor it is to be in a free country where we can gather together and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. He is worthy of our praise. Greatly is his name to be praised. When you was a kid, did you ever do this right here and make faces and do the, did y'all ever do that? Then your mama says, you continue to do that, your face is going to freeze that way. I never saw nobody's face actually freeze like
What happened to you? I'm sticking my tongue out at my sister and my face rose.
I never saw that. So my mama, if she continued to tell him stories, I don't know. But we continue. That word has really been impressed on my heart the last 2 weeks. Continue. And there's two ways we can continue. If we continue to do the wrong things happen in our life. But when we surrender to Jesus and continue to follow Him, we have all the hope that we need. All the hope that we need. Everything that God wants us to continue in Him. What I'm wanting to challenge each and every one of us to do is move from this place of I've done that to I'm following Him. Amen? I'm following Him. All across the nation, pastors this week are challenging their congregations to stand with Israel. And if there's ever been a time we need, it's not just stand with Israel, it's stand against evil. Okay? I've told you, our elections are not Democrat, Republican anymore. It's good and evil. And there's good and evil on both sides of it. And that's why it's imperative that we know who we're voting for, know their values, so we know how to vote and that we elect the right candidates. That's where we start. But then it's up to us to continue to proclaim the name of Jesus and lift Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. So our responsibility is to lift Him up. Jesus will do the drawing to Himself. Amen. And I got a video I'm going to ask Barbara to play here in just a minute. But before she does, it's a very disturbing video of what happened in Israel over a month ago. And you're going to get just a glimpse of it. And if we don't begin to continue to be the people God has called us to be, if we don't it ain't when you get, if you're going to get hurt, it's when and how bad. When we look in our culture today and we think, man, what happened, that won't ever happen to us. I have to wonder when. I have to wonder when will the genocide start here? Because if God's people don't begin to proclaim, we can turn this thing around. I want y'all to know that. But God will let it go just as far as we will let it go if we don't surrender to Him. But when we begin to call on God, the righteous will never be forsaken. Never. That's a promise in His Word. But we have to live a life surrendered to Him. So I'm going to let Barbara share this video and think about where we are today. And we need to guard our homes, our hearts. And we need to begin to walk out of these doors and be the people God has called us to be for His kingdom. Go ahead, Miss Barbara.
Sing louder. A story from the Holocaust. Whenever the train would go, the people at the church would hear those who were inside, the Jewish people screaming. And the response of the pastor was, sing louder, so they would not hear the horrors that took place over there. And here I am, at the house in the kibbutz, with children, parents, the only fault that they were Jewish, and they were brutally murdered by those Hamas terrorists from Gaza. The stain you see behind me is a stain that is left of the blood, and the smells here are horrible. And yet there are those today who say the same. Sing louder, ignoring the truth, saying that this is all a joke. Well, I'm here to witness that this is true. And I'm calling on you to stop singing louder and start standing for what is right. And what is true, and the massacre that took place here. Take a stand History will judge you, and God will judge you for the stand that you are taking.
We need to take a stand. Amen. Amen. Take a stand. Continue in the ways of the Lord. How important is it that followers of Christ continue to follow Him each and every day? It's the only way we make a difference in the culture is what we get to do day in and day out is live for Jesus. Be followers of Him, not fans of His. This morning I got to go over to the fairgrounds and speak to the Longhorn Association. They're having their big show over there this morning, and they've been over there all weekend, but they asked me to come and share with them. And guys outside, it's not about what we know that gives us a message, okay? I want to encourage you in that. We often think, well, I don't know enough. It is never about what you know, but it's everything about who you know. And His name is Jesus. If we just lift Him up, He made it simple for us. He said again, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. But we have to continue, and we can put all of this evil at bay. Because when we begin to lift up the Lord and we begin to honor Him in our life and in everything we do, there is a protection that comes around God's people that is unseen. What? No, let's back up. Let's go to the Old Testament. You remember when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? I think for a lot of Christians, we even forget about the good old stories through the Word. When Daniel was put in that lion's den, what was he put in there for? To feed the lions. And he wasn't to take them a little bit of stuff and throw to them. He was supper. And because of his faithfulness to who? He shut the lions' mouths. You talk about who did he get the attention of? His best friends? No. He got the attention of the political leader, the king. He got the attention of the king. And what we need to do as God's people is begin to stand up and lift that name of Jesus ever higher. We don't need to sing louder. We need to stand stronger. We need to continue in the faith. What is our faith? It's what we believe in. I know and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have surrendered to Him against any day of evil that comes my way. When Paul and them, all of the disciples were martyred for what they stood for in Jesus. They were martyred. They never gave up hope. When they stoned Stephen said before they stoned him, now if you go read that story back in the scripture, he said they took him out of the city to stone him, and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And the scripture says, and he fell asleep. Now can you imagine that when you got a people outraged because of your faith? Hello now. Let's get real. That's why the king threw Daniel in there, because he was outraged over his faith. When they took Stephen out to stone him, they were outraged over his faith. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And the scripture says, and he fell asleep. Can you imagine how upset the people, their anger, that's what we look at in our culture today. That's why they march in the streets in the big cities, and they're doing it even here in Texas, in Dallas, marching these streets to kill the Jews, just continue a genocide. And a people that outraged going to kill Stephen, and when they draw back to throw the rocks, he just falls down. They didn't get to kill him. The scripture says he fell asleep. If we continue to honor God, the righteous will never be forsaken. The righteous will never be forsaken. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So see, Paul is telling Timothy here, stand stronger. We must continue, because when we continue in these things, and when we take heed of ourselves and the doctrine of Christ, when we take heed in that, it saves both ourselves and those who hear you. They need to hear about the love of Almighty God. They need to know there's a Creator that has fought every battle they're going to go through in this life. He has got them protected by His almighty power. Philippians 2. I want to start in verse 12. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We can almost take that scripture and go, oh, look at there, I get to figure out what's right for me, working out my own salvation. I get to work it out myself. We hear this a lot, and I've even said it myself. We got to learn to forgive ourselves. You don't need to learn to forgive yourself. If you can forgive yourself, you don't need a Savior. If you learn to forgive yourself, you don't need a Savior. You create, oh, I'm good. I forgive myself for that. If we don't seek God's forgiveness, if we don't walk in God's forgiveness, where's the freedom? Again, freedom don't come from governments. Freedom comes from what God has done in a man's heart. And that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, if we continue in the doctrine, if we take heed to ourselves and to doctrine and continue in them, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. So when God births something in our heart, and He creates this new life in us, it's like Jared was sharing up here with the water this morning. You gonna spill, you hear me? And did you see Jared do that and then leave the mess for us to clean up? You ought to feel real good about yourself. I'm proud of you. I mean, your wife even jumped up and run up here and cleans up your mess right behind you. But what if we as God's people would just begin to spill that way, what a difference we'd begin to make in Athens, Texas. What a difference we'd begin to make in our culture. What a difference we'd begin to see. We worry about all of these movements. We worry about all of these things taking power, taking over. The moral fabric of America is gone because the church has been silent too long. But this is what Paul said. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have not always obeyed in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work it out. Not work for it. God don't want you working for what He's going to do for you. What we get to thinking, boy, I hope God will give me this. I hope He gives me that. God is working in our heart. Work out. It's what God's purpose is inside each and every one of us. And when we begin to seek God and we begin to honor God in everything in our life, it begins to manifest itself and it begins to pour over. You hear me? When God begins to spill over in our life, it ain't what you say, it's how you live, and it begins to impact all of those around you. Because Paul told Timothy, take heed, because in doing so, when you do these things, you'll save both yourself and those around you. Why was Jesus so impactful when the multitude would just gather around him? Why was that? Because he was spilling out everywhere. Now, a lot of people just wanted what they could get, and they didn't want to live a life of surrender and obedience. And today we've got that same problem. But we must live a life of surrender and obedience to the King of Kings. And he says here in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God is trying to create his purpose in your life. That's why we're to work it out. Do we spend much time praying? Do we spend much time in the Word? I can't stress that enough. This holy book matters to each and every one of us. It matters. What you put in you is what you'll get out of you. You're a channel. Everything that goes in you is what comes out of you. And if we leave the most precious thing that we as Christians could have out of our day-to-day life, if we leave this out, if we leave out the forsaking of the gathering together like God intends for us to do, if we leave that out, we're not important to each other. And what happens in the church today, many people, and I'm gonna walk on your toes now, but God ain't aiming at your toes. He's trying to catch your heart. How many of you don't know this building? Who's sitting around you? Do you know each other? Guys, if we don't begin to get to know each other, everybody in here hurts just like you're hurting. We all go through things. This month, Sam's in the hospital today. We got Miss Sammy had a surgery. We got surgeries coming up. We got people going through this and people going through that. And we need to know each other and care about each other. Why? Because it's important that you begin to spill over. If you could understand the needs of somebody else, they ain't a person in this room that wouldn't begin to do something just to say a word of encouragement. That's how you spill over on somebody. Why? Because God has got a purpose for you. God wants you to allow his purpose to manifest itself, spill over in your life to bring glory and honor to him and unite brothers and sisters together. We can talk about unity all day long, but if the Holy Spirit don't bring the unity of the brothers and sisters, there is no unity. Paul says in verse 14, he said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." There's more griping goes on in the church house than they are at the White House. Hello? Why? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Verse 16 says, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain." What was Paul telling them? He had poured on these people so much. He had poured on the Philippians so much that he wanted to see them begin to spill over. My heart as a pastor is I want to see you begin to spill over. You're going to gather with family. You're going to gather with family this week that you ain't seen in a while. And I'm challenging you, instead of having a bitter heart toward them, spill over on them. Let the power of God manifest itself in your life. It ain't about you no more. It's about him. Let's make our lives about him. 1 John 5:11, we're going to dive over here. 1 John 5:11, the scripture says this, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son." That's how we work it out. I got to work out what God's put in me. I've got to work that out. And when I seek God for more and more of him, the more I want to say about him. Watch verse 12. It says, we looked at it in Romans 8 the other day. Romans 8 said, And those who have not the Spirit of Christ are not his. Look here at verse 12 of First John. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So it is important that we work out of us the Spirit of God that wants to manifest itself in this world. It's important that we do that. Keep your place right there. I got something I want to share here. The view of obedience of Christ and his lordship and to the Philippians should show a like obedience. Paul does not teach that salvation is dependent on one's continued works, but that salvation must express itself in progressive Christian living and upright character, not only individually, but through obedient participation in God's corporate call to the local church. We need to be expressing the love of God to each other. I was at a church one time and I had shared about loving each other and caring about each other. And this man come up to me and he said, "I'm a little mad at you." And I said, "Okay." He said, "You said I gotta love. You don't have to love. It's Burger King. You can do it your way. But if you want to love the way Jesus loves, it's got to be birthed in you." I'm going to say that again. It's got to be birthed in you if you want to love the way Jesus loves. And the only way birth takes place is through conception. And the only way we have conception is that we seek the Word of God. We seek God in prayer. We seek God through a life surrendered. And the hungrier you are, the more this thing right here that we call a book begins to be imperative to you as a believer, because you just got to have it. There's word for every situation, from homosexuality to stealing to hate to bitterness to anger. There's scripture in here for everything you're going to go through. I don't care if it's been upside down. I don't care if everything's been robbed away from you by the enemy. The devil wants to destroy you. He is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the more you know this right here, I think as Christians, we hang around the fence too long. But the further you get in God, the further you get away from the fence. And then when the storm comes and the rain comes, you ain't worried about the fence, because you're deeper in Jesus. You're deeper in Jesus. Look at verse 12 again in 1 John. He says, "He who has not the Son," "he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Continue. It's important that we continue. Paul even wrote in Romans chapter 6, he said, "What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer in it?" You can only have the grace of God through your obedience. That's the only way it happens. My granddaddy, when I was growing up, he was the one that always sowed the Lord into me and sowed Jesus into me. He never told me church is a place you need to be. He taught me that church is in you. You are the church. We have a treasure, Paul said, in earthen vessels. And that is what God is putting in you. That's why it's important that we work out God's purpose and plan. Not work for it, work it out of you. Again, if we can forgive ourselves of all the things we've done wrong and all the failures we've made, we wouldn't need Jesus. But it's important that we live a life surrendered to Him. Acts chapter 2, I want to jump over here in this one. Watch this right here. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." We hear too many people say this today. Well, it's just the way it is. It's the way it is because the church ain't standing up. We're not lifting Jesus up. We're not lifting Him high enough. He says, verse 41, look here then. Then those who gladly received His words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued. God ain't give us something that causes us to put it in park. If your life is in park as a Christian, you're missing out on the great things God has for you. You're not walking in the fullness and you're not overflowing. Verse 42 and says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul and every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And guys, I'm telling you right now, God is wanting to shine in this world, and He's wanting to shine through you, and it's all for His glory, not for you and me. God is still a supernatural God. I love what Malachi wrote. He said, I am the Lord, and I do not change. God ain't changed. God ain't said, well, y'all just work it out till you. Till I come back, maybe I'll be there. I ain't going to be. No, God is coming back, and when He comes back, He's coming back in authority. He went to the cross as a lamb, but He's coming back as a lion. And we need to know whose authority and power we stand in. That's the freedom that man needs to walk in. Colossians 1. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Watch verse 23. Here's the important one. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to you, and every creature under heaven of which I, Paul, became a minister." What is our faith? Faith is what we believe in. That's what shut the mouths of the lion. It wasn't Paul just saying, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a believer." It wasn't that. Paul, Daniel's heart, but that shut the mouths of the lion. It was Daniel's belief. When is our faith really going to drive us like that? I don't care what this world throws at me. I don't care what life throws at me. My faith in Almighty God. It's what settles the heart of every believer. I want to share this story with you. When I had to have open heart surgery in 2014, and I dreamed about all of this. I told my little wife I was going. The doctors had told me some things and that I had a heart murmur. And then I started having dreams about this. And I told my little wife, I said, I'm going to have open heart surgery. Laurie says, you are not going to have open heart surgery. They can fix things with medicine nowadays. I said, well, I don't know what they can fix with medicine, but I know I'm going to have open heart surgery. No, you're not. And we kind of live in that denial. You know, we don't want to go through that. And I know that's what my little wife's anxiety was. She didn't want me to have to go through that. But I told her, I said, in another dream, I said, I'm going to have open heart surgery and they ain't going to split me open. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I knew in the dream I ain't split open. I didn't know how they do things, but they went through my ribs to go fix my heart. And I dreamed every bit of this. And when I went to the hospital, I'm praying for everybody in there. When they'd come in there, I'd ask them, are you a Christian? Do you love Jesus? And some of them would look at me funny, and I'd go, because if you ain't a Christian and you ain't going to let me pray for you, you ain't working on me. And I prayed for everybody. I prayed for every one of them that come in there. And I told Laurie, I told the doctors everything I was going to go through. And you don't tell a doctor much, but I had a doctor that was a believer. And guys, I went through every bit of that. I dreamed it all out, and I was home 3 days after surgery. I was back home. They put a metal ring around my mitral valve because I had mitral valve prolapse and my heart was enlarging. And then I had to go for a nuclear test because they said my heart wasn't functioning at its full capacity after surgery. And I told my wife, I dreamed this one. I said, my heart's functioning at full capacity, but the Lord's going to send me to a clinic to witness to somebody. By this time, she'd quit being Thomas. And when I get in there and I'm walking around and I'm sharing Jesus with these folks, and this man come in there and he said, how are you this morning? I said, I am awesome, man. How are you doing? He looked at that paperwork. He said, don't look to me like you're awesome. And I said, well, I'm telling you right now, I am awesome. And I said, I'll tell you why I'm awesome. His name is Jesus. And I just started sharing that with him. And I just said, I'm just praising the Lord that I am alive and well. And he said, well, good for you. He said, if more people would praise the Lord, this world wouldn't be in the shape it's in. And I just got up off the bed because I got excited when he said that. And I said, well, why don't me and you start praising the Lord this morning? Right now, just me and you. If me and you go to praising the Lord in here, reckon what would happen in this place if we truly just rejoiced in the Lord and who he is today. And then he goes, okay, this boy's weird. But when God begins to pour, you can think that's weird. Jared, you're weird pouring that water out on the floor. You're making a mess. But that's what God wants to do with your life, is he wants to fill you to overflowing. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to make the world look at you funny. It's going to make you spill over because it's God's power working through you, not you yourself. And it's not about you anymore. It's about the authority you have surrendered to in his name's Jesus. Hallelujah. And I told that boy, I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I know I got to take this nuclear test, but let me tell you what that nuclear test is going to be. It's going to come back and my heart is functioning at its full capacity. And I explained everything that was going to happen. And he's looking at me weird. And I said, when I come back to this clinic, me and you are going to rejoice because I'm telling you what God showed me in a dream. And he even looks at me like I'm even more weird. That's what The View did when Mike Pence said he was hearing from Jesus. They said any man that hears voices, they commit him to a crazy house. So they were poking fun at Mike Pence's faith. But now the evil of this world has got a book. Hearing from God sounds like a good title, don't it? Conversations with God. Conversations with God. Oprah Winfrey's pushing the book.
tells you that God says it's okay if you're homosexual. The lies, the enemy. Why is it important that the church begin to rise up and lift him up so he can draw all men to themselves? We need to stand in the gap for a generation, and we need to work out of us God's purpose and plan for our life, as Paul was encouraging the Philippians to do. We need to work that out of us so that a generation can know the peace of God that passes all understanding. But the church is going to have to first know the peace of God before this next generation can know it. It's important that we stand up. It's important that we rise up and allow God to be who he wants to be in us. The word continue comes up in the Bible 63 times. Come on, Wayne. The word continue comes up 63 times in 29 books of the Bible. It's time now that his people continue in his faith. His faith, that's his purpose for each and every one of us. His word, his promises, his hope, his truth, his purpose, his joy, and above all else, his new life that's in Christ Jesus that he wants to live in each and every one of us. Why? So that a generation can experience the only true and living God. He is great. Yes. We continue when life is difficult. We continue when we feel defeated. When our struggles is real, we continue. We don't give up. We don't wonder, God, where are you? We begin to praise him right where you are. When Paul and Silas was thrown in jail, they had been there 3 years, and they decided one day we're going to rejoice in the Lord, and we're going to praise the Lord. You know what happened in that story? Get the book out and go read it. The prison shook. The ground shook. The bars busted open, and everybody in that prison was set free. What needs to happen in the church today is that the prisoners get set free in the church so that the world can be changed for the power of Almighty God. It is time that God begin to shake the ground and shake it right where you live and make things not make sense to you, because you're spilling over, because the joy of the Lord is manifesting itself in your life for his glory. Y'all stand with me. Woo. Can we give God a hand clap of praise today? Come on. Hallelujah. I got a young man over here, 53 years old, Lieutenant Bill Westover. Your mama gave me a note this morning about you. I'm going to ask you to come up here. This young man's got to have open heart surgery this week. And I'm going to ask some of you, come on, wherever you are, I want to bless this brother. I want to spill over on him. Come on. We got some more having surgery. You're going through things. Your surgery's Tuesday, right, Bill? Wednesday. I want you to look right here, brother. God's got this. There's a promise for us. A promise for us. And hallelujah. God, you are worthy today, and I pray over my brother Bill. I pray over this house. Oh, mighty God, that we would be the people you called us to be for your kingdom. Lord, I pray your strength over my brother. I pray for every doctor that walks in his room. I pray for every instrument that will enter his body. Lord, I pray it's cleanliness. I pray that it is its wholeness. And I pray, God, that you would do a great work through this surgery. Manifest yourself to my brother like never before, because you're awesome, God. But I pray you do a work in our heart as believers, Father, that we spill out on somebody this week. I pray you use my brother. I pray you bless his wife. I pray your peace over her. Oh, God, we give you the praise today, because you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You're such a great God. And I want to praise you for Bill. I want to praise you, Lord, that today that Bill
it may look like things we got to dread, Lord. None of us like going in surgery, but Father, when we come through it, it's for your glory. I pray that over Bill today. I pray your strength over this family. God, I pray for Miss Sammy that's at home right now. I pray over her. I pray her wellness, back surgery this week, be infused together, a big surgery, God. But there's many things we got to go through in this life. And you shut the mouths of the lions every time when we surrender and walk in your fullness. And I pray that the lion's mouth is shut today over my brother Bill. And I pray the peace of God that passes all understanding settle his heart, mind, soul, and strength for your glory. Pray over this house this week, God, that we be the people we need to be for your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray you strengthen us for your glory, and we give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.